person that overcomes is one that has to overcome. You can't be an overcomer and ain't never overcame nothing. I'm an overcomer. What you overcome? Nothing. No, you got to overcome some stuff. That means overcome. It's trying to overcome you, but you got to overcome it. There's a warfare. There's a wrestling. You get knocked down sometimes. You got to get up because I got to overcome this. This thing ain't taking me out. This ain't how my story ends. There's more that God has for me. This ain't where I get off. I'm moving forward. But you got to figure out eventually how to overcome it. And in the process, God is forming you and fashioning you and shaping you. See, that's the mind of a king. He strategizes. No, this ain't what I want. This ain't how God has said it's supposed to be. And so me and God, I got to figure this thing out. Tell somebody there's always a way. Come on, there is always a way. The key factor tonight, we must understand, I have to change the way I think. If you're having trouble with something, ask God, Lord, give me a holy unrest with this. Don't let me be comfortable in mediocrity. Don't let me be comfortable with just doing good. I want the best. I want to give you the best. Don't let me be comfortable in just getting by and just, you know, scraping the bottom of the pot. Lord, don't let me get me uncomfortable with that. See, when your spirit starts to stir and your mind starts to stir, guess what? Creativity starts out. You start figuring stuff out. You start making a way. You start busting a move. You start getting up and say, I'm not dying like this. I'm not staying here and dying like this. Let's go to the Syrian camp. Yeah, we got something to overcome there. They'll kill us, but maybe they'll give us something to eat. You know, you start thinking all kind of ways rather than just sitting there and taking it. Amen? All right, so we are partakers. Well, let me say, we're priests, our priesthood of kings, as priests, as a priesthood, a royal priesthood of kings, we are to rule and reign right here where your feet are on the earth. We are to rule and to reign. Rule and to reign. Now that does not mean, you know, what we might think in the way of manipulating and controlling people and bossing people around and kicking people around and oppressing people. That's not the king. That's why I say we need the towel before the title. Amen. Jesus said, let him that is greatest among you be as he that serves. Now, God will always have chains of command. He'll always have leaders. One of the harshest judgments in Isaiah 3 that God can ever send on a nation is to remove leadership. He did it to Jerusalem and Judah in Isaiah 3 and let children kind of rule over. But that was one of the harshest judgments God can ever dole out is to remove leadership. No leadership, no progress, no development. No deliverance, no nothing. Could you imagine, let's say, just the church, instead of any adults, just having all five-year-olds in here running around? Huh? What would it look like? Amen. So in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, I've shared this verse. I'll share it again, but it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, if we go down to chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says it again, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now there's coming a millennial kingdom where we will reign with Christ. But what I need to get to you tonight and what we need to build on is that time is coming, but there's a ruling and a reigning that we are to do now. Do you understand? We are continuing the work that Jesus started. One of the manifestations of his kingship even though it was hidden from all the religious order, disease had to bow to him. Everything he encountered, what did he do? He overcame it. Death had to bow to him. The weather obeyed him. Demons obeyed him. Tell me, that's a king. Everything he encountered, he reigned over it. He changed. He ruled over it. That was a manifestation of his kingship. What did he say? The works that I do. Come on, kings. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works. Why? Because you are kings. You are of that royal seed. All right? So we read here again in Revelation that we are unto God kings and priests. Now, we are partakers. Understand, he left a mandate, a charge, a commission for his church. We are partakers in Jesus' continued ministry. We are continuing his ministry. Amen? Amen. He's, how many know he's in us in the person of the Holy Spirit? He's in us. He's on the right hand of the Father. And in the spirit realm, we are raised up with him. We are there with him. He is here with us. And we are there with him. Amen? Understand what he did. He defeated all the enemy, every enemy, every enemy. He defeated them, destroyed the works of the devil. This is what where our mindset really has to change too. No matter how the enemy rears his ugly head, he's defeated. Jesus, let me say, he whooped him bad in front of all the girls. Made an open show of him in front of everybody. Triumphal entry. You know what kings would do when they defeated an enemy? They would, when they were coming home, they would stop a mile outside of the town or the city. And all the people would run out there, and they would see, you know, they would have like Agag or whatever, they'd had the king all under chains, the ones they defeated, all the princes, they'd have them all chained up, and then they would meet them there, and then they called it the triumphal entry. They would walk that mile, and they would have laid all kind of things on in the road, and it'd be a huge celebration as he paraded the enemy behind him. He's on his white horse, you know, and all his generals with him. And here come the captives, you know, the ones that thought they was bad, and got whipped, and he parades them. And this is what Jesus did with thrones and principalities, all the powers that kept man in bondage. Jesus himself defeated them. And then made an open show of them. And see, as a king, you have to know they are defeated. You are warring with I won't even say a remnant, you're warring with a defeated foe. See, why is it that he can war with you? Because he's deceptive. His strength is in how he can deceive. Now see, with the world always trying to conform and our being called out into the world, you hear unsaved people talk all the time. You know, you hear stuff all the time that's not even near the truth. And, you know, it can contaminate you. You know, you go out there and you have to rub shoulders with unsaved people all the time. Their spirit alone. You know, even with some saved folk, but, you know, their spirit alone can wear you down. I tell you that story of Pat, just having to sit with that little lady. When I would go back to the dorm, I could sleep a good 12, 14, 16 hours straight, knocked out. You know, a hurricane, an earthquake wouldn't wake me up because it was so draining on the spirit. So as a king, we grapple with deception. People can sometimes make you feel. Let me say it this way. People or circumstances oftentimes can make you lose sight of your identity. You know how sometimes after a church service you feel like you can run through a troop? You know you bad. You know you walking around just, you know, and you go to the job. And there's that one on that job that always is, you know, oh, you know, they're just like the devil incarnate. And as soon as you get there, Monday morning, boop, your bubble's busted. Now you're struggling the rest of the week. But see, as a king, you have to know how to walk in wisdom and walk as a king in rulership. I'm not talking about compromise and being afraid and, you know, dodging and ducking. I don't mean that, but as a king, we looked at Daniel this past weekend and how because he refused to budge, he wasn't about promoting himself and he wasn't about arrogance or pride. He was about commitment to his God. And no matter how they came against him, not one weapon formed against him could prosper. Not one lion even wanted to bite him. Not one. Because he stood. And see, that's what we talk about, kings and a kingdom. And see, the more we understand, the more we know about this kingdom of God. Like you've heard before, you read it in the book, we win. I mean, we win this thing hands down. And the reason why is because Jesus already finished it. The challenge is the renewing of our mind to release what's in your spirit, for the kingdom is within you. But your mind, a lot of times, the kingdom is trying to rise up out of your mind, pushes it back down. God is trying to bring greatness out of you, and you're pushing it away. And you're afraid because, again, sometimes afraid of change. Afraid of the unknown, afraid of failure, afraid. See, we gotta get fear out.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 6 of our series entitled, A Kingdom of Kings. Kings hold the keys to authority. Keys represent your kingly authority. John 14, 12 and 13 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are our covenant right. It gives us access. With keys, we close and we open. With keys, we don't have to stand outside knocking.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is Tom Creighton, station manager of WCNO Radio. Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
Welcome to Family Matters, a daily look inside the real world of parents and their children. I'm your host, Paul Kendall. We're continuing in a series based on the powerful new marriage program called